I agree. Second Lieutenant Ambrose J. Finnegan was a war hero. But the Pentagon says, for unknown reasons, the plane was forced to ditch in the ocean. Both engines failed at low altitude. Why is President Biden saying he was shot down? There's no evidence of that. And why is he saying that his uncle was eaten by cannibals? That's a bad way to go.
He lost his life. It's not, look, I'm not, we should not make jokes about
it's
this.
Not, President Biden said that his uncle was eaten by cannibals.
I mean, your last line, it's for a laugh. It's for a funny statement. And he takes this very seriously. His uncle, who served and protected this country, lost his life serving. And that should matter. You have a president that lifts up our U.S. troops, our American veterans, every day, who thinks about them, who actually thinks they're all heroes, and they are. And you have a former president who disrespects that, who doesn't honor that. Said it as president, suckers or loser. I should be back.
Not letting this go. Still unverified, still uncorroborated, still anonymous. Pushed by a former salon writer at the Atlantic.
Stop joking!
The journalism industry is overrun with elite, underqualified, rich, entitled nepo babies.
How are you, baby? How old are you?
I don't know.
People should not be walking around with masks.
Russian disinformation.
Your stewards.
So if you're keeping track, we now have two acts of self-immolation during the Biden years and only one act of self-immolation in Jim Acosta during the Trump years. A man set himself on fire outside the Trump trial. It's not related, although, I mean, the shit some people will do to get out of jury duty never fails to surprise. He left a manifesto on Substack. No, I'm not going to link to it. What can I say? Substack is the place to be for people these days. Whether you're a writer or a podcaster or someone who just wants to light themselves on fire, this place is all the rage. It's April 19th. Very quickly, before I get... I'm not letting this go. Because, again, Karine Jean-Pierre is doing something here that is, again, the attitude of the White House press was very different 4 years ago. But I wanted to mention something that I'm doing tomorrow. And I've been meaning to do this ever since I booked this appointment or whatever, and to reach out because I know a lot of you are gun owners. And I keep forgetting, and yesterday for some reason I went off on Elden Ring instead. But I'm taking my concealed carry permit course tomorrow. Yep, 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. Bring a sack lunch, a banana and a bologna sandwich. It's going to be like the Breakfast Club except with pew-pews. And for those of you who have taken it, maybe just leave some comments about what to expect going in. What can I expect to be doing during this? I know I'm going to be probably be watching films, and it's an NRA instructor. It's official. We're going to be doing live fire. I have to purchase 150 rounds at least. The range that I go to where this is held at doesn't allow holster fire. And I don't know if that's this is the second range I've been to that doesn't allow holster fire. Meaning you can't unholster and shoot a target. You have to keep the gun pointed downrange at all times. But I think that this is going to involve holster fire because it is a certified instructor. They do close the range to the people in the class. And so tonight I'm going to be going out to the Bass Pro Shop and I'm going to be looking for a holster. But if you've taken your concealed carry course, leave some comments, questions about what I can expect going in or what you got out of it or what you liked or what you didn't like. It's one of those things where I want to be as prepared as possible. I don't want to come off looking like a noob pulling a Canic Mede out of my pants pocket or anything like that. For anyone who's purchased a Canic, it comes with a holster. It's not a great one. I have not practiced using it because it's awkward and it's big. And it's also for right-handed. So the gun goes in and is meant to come out with my right hand. And as I've talked about, I'm ambidextrous. I'm a left-handed shooter. And so as I'm working where to keep a concealed carry holster, right now the most comfortable is on my left hip. Han Solo style. No, not down on the leg. I mean, like, on my left hip belt loop or whatever. I tried sitting with it, and that was not comfortable. I tried it in my back. That wasn't comfortable. I may end up just going with the ankle holster. I don't know. But it's also going to be the first time tomorrow that I will be on a range with my brand new eye. And so I'm looking forward to that. I'm excited about that. And then the next step in my gun journey, which, you know, as you know, started out about a year or so ago with my first purchase around Christmas, is I'm taking an outdoor obstacle tactical training course. And I'm going to be looking at doing that here in the next couple of months. And I am really looking forward to that. The John Wick style go around the doorways, and they teach you movement. They teach you, you know, how to enter exit doorways, rapid fire, quick fire, shoot the target, move on, shoot another target, eject magazine, put in magazine, shoot. And so any of you who have done that as well, let me know what your experiences are with that. But that's something I'm looking forward to. When I can move again, I went back to my personal trainer yesterday, and I got like the muscle twitches happening all around my shoulders and stuff. So that'll be fun for tomorrow. But yeah, leave comments or questions. If you've been through a certification for concealed carry, let me know what you like, what you didn't like, what I can expect, what you think I can expect, how I should behave, obviously. I don't know if I'm looking forward to it. It's one of those things I think you should do. If you're a gun owner, is obviously you get your concealed carry permit. So it's just one of those things I think you should do. So I don't know if I'm looking forward to it. A full 6 hours. There might be some like gore films. That could be kind of cool, like shooting accidents or attempted robbery footage or stuff like that. I always look forward to that stuff. I'm pretty desensitized in that area. But it's just something I got to get done. I got to get out of the way. I already paid the deposit on it. And I've been putting it off and putting it off for reasons. And then finally, yep, it's upon me tomorrow. So, yeah, sack lunch time. Back to Peter Ducey. And I make the joke that Peter Ducey is currently the only reporter in the White House press briefing room that doesn't want to be a future guest on Jen Psaki's MSNBC show or Karine Jean-Pierre's CNN show or whatever. He's the only one who actually cares about holding this administration accountable. It's quite a different tone in that briefing room, as we've talked about, than it was 4 years ago. And 4 years ago, Ducey is the only guy here who would be actually be grilling about the president's own words. 4 years ago, you'd have Peter Alexander from NBC. You'd have Kirsten Welker from NBC. You'd have Jim Acosta from CNN. You'd have Katie Turr. You'd have Yumisha Alcindor. You'd have April O'Brien. They would all be grilling Kayleigh McEnany or Sean Spicer over, why did President Trump say his uncle was eaten by cannibals? And Karine Jean-Pierre gets away with this because all of the other reporters, and if you see the clip, and I'll link to it in the show notes, they just look ahead. Ducey's sitting here going, why did he make up a story and lie that, one, his uncle was shot down, he wasn't, and two, that he was eaten by cannibals? And I even like how Ducey's like, do you have any idea how insane that sounds coming out of his mouth? And here's Karine Jean-Pierre say, stop making jokes. I'm not making a joke. That's literally what the president said. Why did he say that? Look, you're just trying to be funny. And this should just be maddening to anyone who cares, again, about journalists and journalistic integrity, which none of these people apparently have anymore. He completely asked her two questions. Why is the president lying about his family service record at a war memorial? And she just weasels out from under it. Quit being funny, Peter. You're just trying to be funny. And then she somehow uses that to disparage, again, an anonymous story that's uncorroborated, unverified, that was published in The Atlantic, where the editor, who was a former Salon writer, and Jeffrey Goldberg, said they had much more reporting to come on that, and never did. They never released any further reporting on it, and the rest of the journalists in that room just sit there and accept it. Joe Simonson made the point on TwitterX that I was getting at with all of this yesterday, that the attempt to distract from Biden's lie and say, actually, Biden said that because he responds to troops so much, unlike Trump, is shameless, and it's a core feature of Biden's idea of empathy. What carries more weight to the media? You have Joe Biden lying twice 2 days ago at a war memorial, lying about his own family service to somehow elevate his own veteran grandfather, as opposed to just saying he tragically died in a plane accident. No, he has to tell a lie. And he has to tell something so fantastical that even journalists are like, we can't spin that. That's making up service. Cannibals? What? Shot down over... cannibals? Like I said, it's not even one of those kind of exaggerative lies where Uncle Ambie dove on a grenade and saved his whole unit. He single-handedly fought off a Jap platoon. He was eaten by cannibals. Never mind the stereotypes that draws with certain ethnicities, and I'll get to that in a second. Here's Peter Doocy asking Karine Jean-Pierre an exact question about his exact words. Why did he say cannibals? And here's Karine Jean-Pierre just going, stop being funny. You're trying to be funny. No, this is when another reporter would say, no, but he's right, though. The president said this, so why did he say that? Remember how we got that during the Trump years, how McEnany or Spicer or whomever would just move off the question? And then the colleague would cite their brave colleague next to me, you didn't answer their question, ma'am, sir. I yield my question, and I want you to answer that one for my colleague. Do you think that your question and your attitude is doing all it can to help the stop of coronavirus, ma'am, sir? And that's what should have happened here. Said, look, hold on. Karine, if I can call you that, he asked you a valid question. Why did the president say this? I don't think that he's trying to make a joke here. He's quoting the president. So why did he say this? Why did he make up the story at a war memorial? And she's able to weasel out from under it because she knows the rest of the reporters in the room aren't going to do that. And if you see the clip, there's three of them that are just looking straight ahead. Like kids who don't want to be called on in class. You've been listening to the Versus Media podcast, free member version. To get the rest of the podcast, additional segments, as well as comments, questions answered on the podcast as part of the community, please consider joining one of my three subscriber tiers. There's a monthly, then there's a yearly, and then there's a founding tier as well, which I will participate in chats with members weekly and offer some other perks. You're always, of course, welcome to stay a free member here, and there's, of course, no obligation to subscribe. But you should, because that's where all the fun actually happens. This is the Versus Media Podcast on Substack, and as usual, don't ever talk to journalists.